So Noah Alamu is not only a talented violinist with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, but is also a fellow podcaster. However, the reason I wanted to talk to her today, a class she teaches on Black classical composers and musicians. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
So starting off, how about you tell us a little bit about the class?
Well, I actually started this class last October just as a way to fill in a gap among homeschoolers. I taught the class last October, or it may have been even before then. But anyway, I've taught the class before. And then fast forward to this summer, there was a lot going on in terms of cases and news headlines of police brutality, and particularly two cases, the murder of George Floyd, as well as the murder of Breonna Taylor. And I remember thinking, I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being angry. So what can I do to bring hope, or perhaps spread awareness and education? And so this class came to my mind that I will just resurrect this class and offer it to anybody. It really started out as just anybody who wanted to, participate in the class or be a student of the class. And it turns out that the majority, overwhelmingly, other classical musicians, string teachers, I had about 65 adults to sign up for the class and about 26 families. So that gave me the indication, or that let me know that people are hungry for this knowledge. I believe they're curious about it. And then it was also encouraging to me to do the research, because it wasn't until college, as an undergrad violin major student, that I didn't even think to research or even ask the question, are there classical music musicians and composers who look like me, are of African descent? And so my first composer at that time was William Grant Steele. And so anyway, to answer your question, that is how I thought to teach the class this summer in July. I'm still teaching those classes, and it's awesome.
This is such a great idea. Growing up, I don't think a lot of people know that I went to a fine arts school, and it was mostly, Black children like me. And so I was in the chorus, I was in the drama club. We never talked about music or people that looked like, most of the kids at the school. Why do you think that Black composers and musicians have oftentimes been left out of the conversation?
Well, I guess the short answer would be racism, obviously, regardless of the genre, regardless of, the accomplishment. Just, Black history continues to be under fire as being rewritten, whitewashed, and the goal, I would think, is just to stamp it out altogether. Particularly, though, with classical music, it does have European roots, okay? The start of it is Europe, white, okay, that is the truth. However, we have made significant, and when I say we have a very real history in this genre, I mean, we've attended the same colleges and universities, from Juilliard to Oberlin Conservatory of Music, New England Conservatory of Music. We attended the same schools. We've had our pieces debuted by the same major orchestras. For example, Florence Price was the first African American woman to have a piece of her music, her own composition, debuted by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And as you know, Chicago is what, 3 hours away from here? And so we've made significant strides. So I think if Black people knew about that history, I think just the not knowing could be contributed, and also shows how representation really does matter. Because if you don't see yourself in something, you're going to automatically discount it, you're going to automatically discredit it, you're going to automatically say to yourself, this must be something I can't do or is not for me. But I think the education, that's what I hope to do with this class, is to spread the awareness. Because now there are over 300. There are over 300 deceased and living African American composers and musicians in classical music. So, with that being said, I would encourage people who are listening to do your research. Research William Grant Steele, research Florence Price, research George Bridgetower, just to name a few.
And so what can schools do to make sure that music curriculum is more diverse? How can we make sure that Black composers are celebrated?
Just start incorporating it into your studies. You know, if you have to write your own curriculum, if you have to just present it in a way that's not part of the norm, so to speak, whatever the textbooks, I know schools have their own, you know, textbooks and whatnot that's required for students to go through and to study, but teachers are going to have to step outside of that.
Is the music community supportive of your efforts to do a class like this?
That's a very good question. I believe there's a long way to go, especially the more higher up you go. In terms of levels, the more professional or the more elite, there may be issues with there. But like I said, people who have navigated or who have gravitated to my class, they are ready for it. They don't necessarily come to, you know, give it a side eye or to discredit it when they come. Because I asked the question in the welcome email that I send, why are you interested in this class? And just about all of them are like, I became aware of my own ignorance in this area. I'm tired of the status quo. I'm tired of the white male canon, you know, always getting the attention or the fame or being the mainstream information, knowledge, and history that we are. You know, people are ready for a change. So as far as I'm concerned, and like I said, just based on just the mere response to my class, it's been great. People are open and they're ready for it.
Do you plan on continuing to teach this class if you see that the need is there, especially in our community? I think the need is really there, but do you plan on continuing to teaching throughout the year?
Absolutely. What I am in the process of doing now is putting the classes online and adding, because I really want to use this class as a way to even discuss race, you know, because a lot of people wonder why Black people are angry, or they're still asking themselves, what is the big deal? So I figured if I use something that's in my area of expertise, this is, you know, I've been playing the violin since age 3. I have my degrees in this field. I've made a living in this field. And so I figure, why not take something that I'm well-versed in and highlight a very beautiful history in the Black community that will literally leave you asking yourself questions such as, why have we not heard more about these people? You know, and once you start asking yourself these questions, those of you, you know, who take the class, and these are questions that my current students and previous students have asked themselves, then you can't help but to be faced with the reality that, oh, Black people must, you know, this must be what they're talking about, or I see what they're saying now, because there's no reason for it. For example, George Bridgetower, he was an Afro-European violinist and had his own career, was doing well, had his, you know, established a name for himself. However, when he met Beethoven, he actually encouraged Beethoven to write a new violin sonata, which today is his sonata number 9, nicknamed the Kreutzer Sonata. However, that same sonata was initially dedicated to George Bridgetower, because George Bridgetower was the one who premiered the piece. He was the one that improvised a section of the piece the morning of the concert. It was an 8 a.m. concert, if you can imagine that. And so Beethoven decided to dedicate this sonata to him. But they had a falling out over a woman. Apparently, Bridgetower made some snide or unkind remarks about a female friend of Beethoven. Doesn't say whether it was a platonic or a romantic relationship. But needless to say, Beethoven got extremely upset with Bridgetower over his remarks regarding his female friend, cut all ties, cut all communication, and then decides to dedicate it to Rudolf Kreutzer, who was a French virtuoso violinist. Now, the thing with Kreutzer is that he never liked the piece. He thought Beethoven didn't know anything about composing, didn't know anything about violin, thought the piece was too difficult, didn't want to play the piece because it had already been premiered by Bridgetower. So needless to say, and as I like to joke in my class, Beethoven literally dedicated a sonata to a hater. So that's just an example.
Well, one thing I really like about that story and about history in general is it really repeats itself. That same example are things we're still seeing today, not only in the music industry, but I think in everybody's normal life. Not only is this a big learning experience in history, to me, it's life learning too.
Exactly. And it also is a testament to the human spirit. I mean, when you begin to think or read about the obstacles that these Black composers and musicians went through to be the first this or to be, and they probably weren't setting out to be the first anything. You know, I'm pretty sure that they were living their lives to the best of their ability, living that best life, as we like to say. And they just so happened to be awarded in the way that they have, you know, the first Black this or the first to do this. But yeah, it's a testament, and this is what I draw home when I'm teaching families, you know, children, is that no matter what, whether it's a racial obstacle or a gender obstacle, sexual orientation and whatnot, it still shouldn't stop you. And it hasn't stopped Black people in particular from making strides and from doing whatever it is that we're doing, industry-wise, whether it's sports or music or business, media, and whatnot.
And I can honestly say, if it hadn't been for somebody before me, I wouldn't be able to, be able to have this platform and do this show. I see that you're teaching a class at UIS, where we're housed at. Can people expect anything different? What's that whole class going to be about?
I believe this class is for the UIS Orchestra. They, you know, the UIS does have an orchestra. And so Dr. Jonas Damatis asked me to just do a short lecture to highlight two classical, Black classical composers and musicians. And so I have chosen George Bridgetower, who I mentioned earlier, as well as Joseph Bologna, who was a French, Afro-French composer, let's just say all around Renaissance man. And the reason I chose these two is because if you have heard of Beethoven and if you have heard of Mozart, then these two particular gentlemen in particular are very closely related to these composers. And again, should be known, should be talked about just as much, if not more, than Beethoven and Mozart.
Since you mentioned those two composers, are there any other Black classical composers or musicians that we should be listening to now to just get acclimated?
Yes, check out Samuel Coleridge Taylor. He was an Afro-British musician and composer. William Grant Steele, Florence Price. And the first one that I talk about in my class is Thomas Green Blind Tom Wiggins. He was an enslaved autistic savant who was a genius at the piano, as well as composition, as well as singing. And just to give you a little insight into his life, it was during my research, it was said that he was able to play three pieces at the same time, one with his right hand, one with his left hand, and singing all at the same time. That's just to name a few. YouTube is a very good source, resource to look up those composers and to hear their music. We are grateful to be in the information age, the internet age, where we can simply do a simple Google search or a YouTube search and be in direct contact with history in this regard.
That's awesome. I'm gonna have to look that up. Finally, the last thing I'll ask, if there's anybody out there that may be scared or intimidated to, come into this topic, what would you say to them? How can you encourage them to want to get involved?
Like I said, just a simple Google search is where, you know, to where the information is right at your fingertips. Just simply research Black classical composers and musicians and see what comes up. There are way more articles now. I would say that as a result of the protests that happened here in this country and around the world, there are top classical music industry holders or power holders who are writing articles now about the disproportionate amount of African Americans who are in classical music, particularly at the top level. Statistically, there are still less than 2% of African Americans who are not in major symphony orchestras, such as New York Philharmonic, Chicago Symphony, Detroit Symphony, and whatnot. So we still have our work cut out, and the conversation is yet going on, because I believe it starts with children, Black children, just being exposed to classical music, and again, seeing themselves in the genre, you know, being represented. We do have festivals now for Black classical musicians. I've been honored to be a part of Color of Music Festival, C-O-L-O-U-R of Music Festival. Look that up, as well as Gateways Music Festival, as well as Sphinx out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. So those are three for those with children who want to expose their children to performances and just to be able to look at, you know, all Black orchestras and all Black classical musicians. It's really, really a sight to see. And also to be a part of it, it was like heaven on earth for me.
And I think what you said is key, that it starts with the children. I think maybe had I had, you know, that sort of foundation, because we learned about, you know, the regular classical composers and musicians, and I studied classical music in high school, I would have kept going. I feel like what you're doing is beautiful. I think everybody, not just Black people, but the community in Springfield in general, really needs to plug in and learn about something new.
Exactly. I agree. And it's interesting that you said that, because I'm also thinking, when you referenced that, had you seen someone like you or learned of someone historically like you who were in classical music, you perhaps you would have kept going. I'm grateful to have had teachers along the way as a child who encouraged me to keep going. I'm pretty sure my mother shielded me from a lot, you know, because when I started in classical music, this was what, the 70s or 80s, it was almost unheard of, you know. And so I'm pretty sure she shielded me from a lot in terms of racism and discrimination. So yeah, teachers need to step it up and be more encouraging as well. And I am just looking to really make this something that people, you know, a resource for people, Black and white alike, to just come and learn, because there's no harm in learning. You know, there's no skin off anybody's back to just learn something new, as you and I discussed a little bit, just to open up your mind, open up your world, and to realize that Black people in particular have made significant strides. You know, I don't believe it should be old news by now, you know, the contributions that we've made and our ancestors made to this country and around the world, but particularly in classical music. I think people realize we can do jazz, and we can, you know, do hip hop and R&B and rap, and we can do the blues and even country music. But classical music, for some reason, still seems to be the one genre where, as long as I've been in orchestras since 9 years old, I still don't see the level of Black and brown faces in the audiences that I would like to see. So hopefully with this class, and just what I want to grow, people will come to me or as a resource and say, that's no longer the case.